devil's been fighting me all day yesterday, all morning this morning, about preaching this message. You know, thank God for what he's done for me. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Now I'm just going to preach. The Lord said to preach. Preach what the Bible says. John chapter 6 this morning. I told you last week I had, you don't know how long it's going to take because I had more notes than I've ever had before. And this week I have more. So we're going to get as far as the Lord let us get this morning. I don't want to bore you. I don't want to give you too much at one time. But I can preach as long as the Lord tells me to preach. When he tells me to quit, I'll shut up and let you go. John chapter 6, verse number 22. If you will stand, would you find your place there? The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came also other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither the disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? If you're here Wednesday night, you know how he got there. They're confused. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Notice their question there. When camest thou hither? They ask Jesus, how'd you get here? And Jesus ignores their question and immediately tells them they're looking for the wrong thing. I want to ask you this morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, we covered a couple of different passages since last Sunday morning. If you missed Sunday night or Wednesday night, and you missed the first half of this chapter number 6, we preached on the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children on Sunday night. What a great miracle that was. It's well known. All four Gospels cover it. I'm sure you've heard it before. Looked at that Psalms 23, those table lands prepared for us, and these disciples are sharing their table land with these people, sharing Jesus with them. Are we sharing Jesus? Like Sunday school this morning, are we sharing him with the lost? Are we sharing the gospel? We ought to be. John is the only one of the Gospels that say they went to a mountain. The other three Gospels say they went to a desert. What's the difference? The word desert, as we saw, means lonesome. John is the Gospel focusing on picturing Jesus as the Savior. And when you have the fellowship with the Savior, no place you go is ever going to be lonesome. You have a shepherd with you all the time. No lonesomeness. Just a mountaintop place of fellowship with him. Amen. Thankful for that. Maybe I'm the only one that preaches that. That's a blessing to me. Then Wednesday night, we looked at verses 15 through 21. And that long row across the sea, halfway across the sea, made by the disciples. We saw they were rowing for probably around 9 hours from what we could find here in the scriptures. Didn't make hardly any progress, still in the middle of the sea by the time Jesus got to them. But then came Jesus. And once he was on board, the storm was a whole lot smoother, a whole lot shorter. It was over immediately. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water, we know that miracle. I'm thankful that if we're able to invite Jesus on board the boat. Mark says he would have went by them. He would have went by them had they not called out to him. It says in John, they willingly received him into them. I'm thankful that we can invite him onto the ship with us. If we humble ourselves and seek his face, he'll get on the boat with us and bring us through the storm. I'm thankful for that this morning. Thankful for a shepherd. Thankful for one that can calm the storm. If you don't calm the storm, he can get you through the storm. It says immediately they were gone. It doesn't say the storm stopped. They were just at sea. They were just ashore. The storm is much smoother with him on board. So you see these two great miracles back to back. We see Jesus display the miracle as a sign to the public. They're feeding all the 5,000 plus women and children. Then we see Jesus display the miracle as a sign in private to his 12 disciples. Nobody else knew how he got there, but they did. As in many of other passages here in this book of John, we've been studying these miracles are leading up to a message. The miracles are just an introduction, like they were last week. The man there at the pool, the miracle was an introduction, an open door for him to have the opportunity to preach the truth to these people. They're coming looking for something. God's going to preach the truth to them. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. Sunday night and Wednesday night, we saw those two miracles, those two introductions to set him up for this message that he's about to go into here in the rest of this chapter, number 6. So let's just look at this message this morning. I'm going to skip anything and go verse by verse. That's why I don't know how far we're going to get this morning. The Lord's going to try to preach just a few minutes on this thought. What are you looking for? Now, John 6 from verse 22 on anyway, has been pretty controversial among different religions, many different denominations, different types of people. Some religions even take some of this, like the bread and the water. Later on, we'll get to that later, and they take it out of context, and so build entire doctrines based off of that couple of verses that are taken out of context. So it's dangerous to be careful. So I'm not here to offend any different denominations. We're not here to poke fingers at different religions. I'm not here to teach you, not here to teach religion apart from God whatsoever. I'm just here to preach the word of God to you. And I can't preach opinions. I can't preach those things. Whether I have or not does not matter. I'm here to preach what the Bible says. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. I spent hours this week studying this verse by verse, trying to make sure I had it correctly in my mind so I can give it to you. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. I don't want to cause any confusion here. There ought not be any confusion. There is no confusion in the Word of God. God is not the author of confusion, says in 1 Corinthians. The truth of the Word of God will not be confusing. If you're confused by what the Bible, if it seems like it contradicts itself, that's because you're not understanding correctly the context of what's going on. You have to understand it correctly. So my goal this morning is simply to preach the Bible. Like I said, not opinion, not any other author's opinion, just the Word of God. Amen. That's what I'm here to do. You just preach the Bible. It can stand for itself. I don't have to offend it with my opinion. Authors don't have to offend it with their opinion. It can stand by itself. So we have a lot of ground to cover here today. We're going to look start in verse number 22, and I'm going to try to make it all the way to verse number 71. That's a lot of verses. Y'all stick with me. Jesus is about to begin a message here to this multitude. The multitude is made up of his 12 disciples, of course. There's also many more disciples that have been following him. And some religious leaders, it calls them the Jews here. That's what makes up the multitude. Jesus is about to sift the wheat from the chaff here. It's going to be obvious who is with him and who is not by the end of this chapter. Who is there because they love the Lord? Who is there because they love food? Who is there because they love to fight? And who's there looking to flee? We saw these different folks here. They're looking for four different things. Now, I was going to preach on those four different points. We'll break it up that way. Look at those this morning. All these people looking for four different things. What are you looking for? What are you looking for this morning? It may just be one of these things here. Number one, we see there some came just looking for food. You don't like a lot of Baptists. That's okay. You don't have to be offended by that. If you're offended by that, you might want to go ahead and head out the door. And I'll offend you again. Anyway, John chapter 6, verse number 22. The day following when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw there was none of the boat there save the one wherein two his disciples were entered. And Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias down to the place where they had to eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither the disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So it took me a few minutes to really understand the first couple of verses there. It's kind of confusing if you look at it in this first three verses there. What John is saying here is that these people, they came across the sea like disciples did on a boat there in verse number 22, and there was only disciples, only the disciples' boat was sitting there. They came across the sea. There's one boat sitting on the other side of the sea where Capernaum is. And they know the night before that Jesus had gone up into the mountain and he sent his disciples by themselves alone in their boat across the sea. Now they come across the sea. There's only one boat there. And they can't find Jesus. Now Jesus is across the sea. Only one boat there. So somehow Jesus got across the sea with no boat. We know what happened from verses 15 through 21. They did not. Verses 23 and 24 are both parenthetical phrases talking about what happened before they came to the other side of the sea. And that's the key there. They have seen many boats back where he broke the bread on the first side. They saw that Jesus was not there in verse number 24. They looked for him. His disciples were there. They looked for him. So they took shipping. That means they rowed a shipping boat. And they came to the other side of the sea to Capernaum, where Capernaum is. And there they found Jesus. So we see they went back to the same place where he gave them bread. They looked for him there because he sent them away. They came back looking for him again. Couldn't find him. Got on a boat, came across the sea. There's still only one boat there. So they're looking for Jesus. And they finally found him. And they are perplexed, a little confused. In verse 25, Rabbi, which means teacher, they say, when camest thou hither? Jesus, how did you get here? How in the world did you get here? Jesus just completely ignores it. Why? Because they don't need to know. He got there by a miracle, but that was a private miracle between him and his disciples. And these folks, as we'll see, are just looking for the wrong things anyway. And he has no need to tell them, no need to fulfill their lustful wishes in finding out what this miracle is. It was none of their business. Instead, he answers them with a rebuke. Verse 26, Jesus answered him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of loaves and were filled. He says, you don't even care about the miracles anymore. Before you came for the miracles, you didn't even care about the miracles anymore. You're just wanting me to fill your bellies. At least they were, when they were following the miracles, there was a chance they would see the truth. Now, they don't even care about the miracles. They don't care about the truth he's preaching. They just want free food. That's what it says right there. If that doesn't sound like modern-day church, I don't know what does. Some folks show up on potluck days. You want to get a Baptist to come to church, promise them a potluck. And to-go plates, too. House of God's not a place to come stock up on leftovers for the week. Bring enough and take a little. Anyway, that's in the book of First Opinions. It's my pet peeve. Anyway, these people, Jesus says, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's the reason you're here. That's the only reason you came looking for me is you want me to feed you some more food. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God the Father sealed. Jesus is getting right to the point here, giving what they really need. Quit worrying about feeding your face and start worrying about feeding your soul. He says, look for me, look for me, look for the meat of the word, look for Jesus, look for me. Where does this meat come from? From the Son which the Father hath sealed. What does that mean? That means he's approved of the Father. Over there, this baptism by John the Baptist, when the dove came down, rested upon him. He was sealed. The Holy Ghost rested upon him. He was sealed for work, for the ministry. He has been sealed, set apart. This is, in fact, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the perfect, spotless Lamb, the very Son of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is him. He is sealed from the Father. He is the meat that you ought to be looking for. He said, you ought to be looking for the Son of God. Later on, by the way, that's me. He's been sealed by the Father. He says, quit worrying about your gut. Look at me. So they hear him. Look at verse 28. Then say they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He said, okay, Jesus, what work do we need to do to get this meat that you're talking about? That's what the world wants today. That's what many religions are offering today. We, before we are saved as lost sinners, we want to know what we personally have to accomplish in order to receive eternal life. We want these steps. We want these instructions, like it's a Boy Scout merit badge or something. We want to earn it. I read this and thought it was pretty powerful. John Phillips, great author, he wrote this. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Fast, says Islam, as it sets apart the month of Ramadan for that purpose. Do penance, Roman Catholicism said for centuries. Earn indulgences, say masses. Torture your body. Perform prodigies of physical endurance, says Hinduism. Keep the law according to the tradition of the elders, says the rabbi. Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's all God requires, faith and trust in his Son. That's how Jesus responded in verse number 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. You believe on him whom he hath sent. Crowd asking, what can we accomplish? What work shall we do? He said, there is only one thing, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, that's not a work at all. Exactly, that's the point. There is no work. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could earn it, if they could earn it, they would pat themselves on the back and walk around wearing their badge like they have earned something. There's nothing you can do, nothing I can do to earn eternal life. Just believe on the Son. Amen. What is the work of God? Jesus says, you believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on Jesus. Just believe. John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him. It's not complicated. I feel like a broken record. This thing of the gospel is not complicated. False religion and scriptures taken out of context would try to make the gospel complicated. Jesus said, quit worrying so much about your food. Look at me and believe. That's all it's going to take. We see they respond to him again, still not understanding. Verse number 30. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? The ones that have come to Jesus looking for more food after they just saw the miracle that he did, what sign showest thou then? Verse 31, our fathers did eat man in the desert, as it is written, it gave them bread from heaven to eat. These people wanted Jesus to just pour down bread from heaven every day for 40 years so they wouldn't have to do anything anymore. He said, okay, just show us a sign. Give us something to believe in. He's already showed them miracle after miracle. The entire reason they are here with him is because of the last miracle he did when he gave them the bread. That's the entire reason they've come to him today, because of what he's already done, and now they're wanting more because they're still wanting food. And now they say, show us why we should believe in you. Then we bring up the man in the Old Testament. They say, he gave our fathers bread in the desert. Where's our bread, Jesus? Apparently, there are some hungry people. First, they're looking for meat. Now they're looking for bread. Apparently, they want to make a sandwich. I don't know what the problem is. Jesus takes the bread. He says, okay, you want to talk about bread? Okay, I'm the bread. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, pay attention to those verily, verily, as I told you before. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus takes this thought of this man. He says, okay, you're talking about bread? Fine. Moses didn't even give you that bread you're talking about. God the Father gave them that, and he gives me to you the true, I am the true bread. He gives me to you. He says, my Father, God the Father, by the way, gave the manna, not Moses, only temporary bread. But now God the Father gives the true bread that will never go away. The manna in the Old Testament was only good for a day, except for the manna that gathered the day before the Sabbath. That was good for 2 days. And once it was eaten, the next day they go gather more. They're hungry again. They go get more. Jesus says, this true bread, it is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The bread will give you life, not just a day, eternal life. That's what that means. So, of course, they respond, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's sandwich that never runs out. It's what they're looking for. The problem is they're still looking to fulfill their stomach. It looked like the woman at the well wanting the water that doesn't drop. Why? Because she was tired of carrying water. These people are tired of collecting food. Apparently, they're lazy, and they want Jesus to feed them every day of their lives. People wanting bread that does not run out. They don't understand the analogy here. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We see here one of the great I ams of John. We see seven of them total, six more after this, and all throughout the book of John. This goes back to Moses there at the burning bush. I am that I am, have sent thee. This is Jesus is the I am. I am the bread of life. He is the same God. It is him, the eternal self-existent one. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one back there with Moses at the burning bush. I'm the one that gave that manna. I'm still here today. I'm the same one. I've come as the bread of life to give you life. If you're coming looking for food, I have good news for you. He's the bread of life. Those that come to him shall never hunger, and those that believe shall never thirst. If you ever get a taste of Jesus, you'll never want anything else. There's two very important words here in this verse. Come and believe. We'll see this over and over again in the Word of God. You can't ignore those. Come and believe. Come unto me. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the church say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. If you hear the gospel, turn around and say to somebody else, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Sinner, come and believe. He says, I'm the bread of life. Come and believe on me. You can sit under a table with a full meal right in front of your face. You can be hungry, but until you partake of that meal, you will not be filled. He says, come and believe. But not all will. We already know that from last week. So in chapter 5, he mentions the same thing again here in verse 36, the very next verse. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. If you'll just come and believe, you're not going to need anything else. Just believe on the Son, the bread of life, you're not going to need anything else. But you've also seen me, and believe not. You just want bread. He said, you see me, you see my miracles. Last week, we saw those Jews in chapter 5, verse number 40. They had all they needed to believe, and Jesus was long-suffering with them after they were mad at him about claiming to be from heaven. They were mad at him. He still gave them the gospel because he was from heaven. That's what he's here to do, and they still wouldn't believe. Jesus says here, you also have seen me and believe not. What a scary thing to hear from the very Son of God. Now, how does all that work? This coming and believing. We see the process here of personal salvation. The supernatural, sovereign work going on. Of course, because we can't save ourselves. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. If we could, I would. There's also the work of God in believing on the Son that we saw in verse number 29, that command we saw. That has to take place as well. Verse 37 through verse number 40. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's not complicated if you stick with the Word of God. Amen. What does the Word of God have to say about the Word of God? Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Okay, let's stop right there. That word giveth. I'm no English major, but I do know what that's present tense, giveth. I looked up to make sure I'm not stupid. And I am, but on this I was right. And it is the third person, singular, simple, present, indicative form of give. It's a lot longer answer than I had, but it's still right. That means when I believe, like I've been commanded to in verse 29, then at that exact moment, there's no purgatory or nothing else, at that exact moment, God giveth me to the Son. Why? Because they work together. Just Jesus repeats this down in verse number 44, and we'll get to that more in a minute. But verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Father draws. How? Through the Word, and as we'll see in a minute, and through his Holy Spirit. They all three work as one. One draws, one gives, and one keeps through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What about that shall come? This word is added when translated to the English so it would make sense in our language. The Greek word that was used didn't need this extra word added. This, in the English language, is used to denote the tense of the verb. So what is the tense? What tense is shall? What does that make the verb? Here's a definition. Both the shall and will come from verbs that had the preterite present conjugation in Old English, meaning they were conjugated using the strong preterite form as the present tense. All that means is, it's a lot of big words, all that means is when I believe, as commanded, verse number 29, the Father giveth, present tense, and I shall come, present tense, to Jesus. That means that immediately I'm in Jesus' hands. Don't forget, Jesus is also talking to a bunch of Jews here. Some of them think they believe in God, but in fact, they're believing in a bunch of rituals. Jesus is also saying, if you believe God, he'll give me you to me. If you believe the Father, you'll believe me. They don't believe in him. Why? Because they really don't believe in the Father. He also says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means whosoever. It doesn't matter who it is. If you come to him through the Father by the Holy Spirit, he'll accept you. Amen. Amen. That'll preach whether you like it or not. I love the Word of God. If you just read it and study it, it says what it's supposed to say. There is no mistakes. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to add man's philosophies into it and mix them with God's Word. It's not going to work. It only causes confusion. His Word will stand forever. Amen. His Word will stand. He expounds more in the next verse, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came not to his own will, but to the Father. He said that before in this book. What is the Father's will? He's going to tell us the next two verses. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You can shout about that. Amen. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's the Father's will? That every one of us that believed in him, he gave us to his Son. His Son's not going to lose any one of us. He's got us, and he's going to hold on to us till the coming day when he comes back and take us to heaven. Even if we die on this earth, he's not going to lose us. He'll raise us up in the last day. Aren't you thankful once you're saved? You're always saved. You don't have to worry about it. What else is the Father's will? The next verse, verse 40. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And guess what? And I'll raise him up at the last day. Just in case you're getting confusion, you're not going to be left here alone. Sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? Verse number 40. It's the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. His will is that we all be saved. We'll all be saved. Will we all be saved? No. Verse 36 told us that. Chapter 5, verse number 40 told us that. But whosoever believeth, by seeing the Son, may have everlasting life. He's not going to cast you out. I want to excite you this morning. I want to make you want to shout hallelujah this morning. And the will of God is that we should see his Son and believe on him. And not cast any of us out. Whosoever, that means me. That means you. That means a drunk on the street that realizes he's a drunk on the street and he needs Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him. God is good to us, church. Why did he do all of this? Why did he do all this? Why did he come to earth? Why does he draw us? Why does he give us his Son? Why does the Son not cast us out? Why does he do this? Because he loves us. Amen. Not because we've done anything for it. because of grace, because of mercy. We all deserve death and hell and the grave. But he's come to us as the bread of life, came to earth as the bread of life, as the lifeboat. Come and believe. Whosoever cometh, I will in no wise cast out. I don't know about you, but it excites me this morning. Some came looking for food. He says, I'm everything you need. Amen. If you have me, you don't need anything else. Have you come to him this morning? Has the Father drawed you this morning too? Drawed you? Have you learned of him? We'll get to that in the next verses. Have you believed? He's not going to cast you out. I have a lot more notes this morning. I'm going to stop right there. I'm thankful this morning. God still saves old sinners. Don't have to be good enough. Couldn't be good enough if I tried. He still saves old sinners. He's not going to cast any of them out. Just come to him. He says, come and believe. It's not complicated. He is the bread of life. These people are still not understanding. I think we still have people in this world that still not understand. They've heard the gospel. They don't understand. Listen to the Holy Spirit's drawing. Listen to the Father's drawing. Come to him. Come and learn from him. It says next verses. How do you learn? From the Word of God. We'll get to that later on tonight. Just come and believe. It's not complicated. It's not supposed to be complicated. Will you believe in him? Have you believed on him? If you have, he's not going to let you go. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Didn't get very far this morning. I'm going to ask you, what are you looking for? Some came looking for food. He says, I'm that. I'm all you need. Some are going to come looking for a fight. They're murmuring. He's not going to put up with that either. He's all they need. Some came looking to flee. Some came looking for a friend. We'll get to all that later. What did you come here for this morning? You come looking for something. You ought to. I ought to come to the house God looking for something. Looking for him, looking for help. What are you coming here for? The Lord dealing with hearts this morning. Would you come? Holy Spirit been dealing with you? Did you come looking for him? What are you holding on to this morning? Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that has a thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Would you come this morning? So when you say, would say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. You can get that settled today. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Even him that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Would you come this morning? He's not going to cast you out. What are you holding on to? What did you come looking for? If you came looking for Jesus, you'll find him. He's not going to hide himself from you. He says, whosoever will, whosoever receives the Son, whosoever will. I'm not going to drag this out no longer than I need to. The Lord's dealing with somebody here this morning. The devil's been fighting too hard for the Lord not to be doing something in the background that I don't know about. Would you come this morning? Lord, I think it's a day. Already done for us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord, and the blessing it is to me. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. I don't deserve it. Lord, I deserve hell today. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for giving me the privilege to stand and to preach this morning. Lord, I pray you guard us through our separate ways. Lord, I pray you guard hearts this morning. Lord, I pray any lost that get saved for us everlasting too late. Lord, I pray you draw them. Lord, I pray they wouldn't kick away. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. everyone has to be here this morning. Help us tonight, in Jesus' name.